Take your Bibles tonight, open to the book of Job. The book of Job, Job chapter 12, if you would. Please, while you're opening to that book, just a couple other things. Tonight, right after the services, if you'd like to stay, we're setting up, correct? For Sunday night, we'll have a reception for Brother Gavin and Brittany Sunday night. And so if you could help set up, we'd appreciate it over there in the great room right after the services tonight. And then pray for Richard's family. They'll be heading out Friday. Pray for safe traveling for them. And they got a big adventure in a few months coming up. They'll be changing duty stations. And so please pray all that works out for them as well. Well, when you think of Job, I think of a mighty man of God. I think of a man. And you know, Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible, too. Interesting what all's, you know, for the oldest book, it's amazing what's in there. You can find out about the craziest things in the book of Job as you read through. You find out about Orion, you know, star galaxies and things. You know, it's pretty wild what all's in the book of Job. To show you, you know, to me when I think about it, I think, well, only God could have pinned those things down because no man at this time wouldn't understand the things that some of the things are. The prediction of Christopher Columbus that the world is round. You find that it mentions about the world being round in the book of Job. Boy, God sure knew it a long time before we did. I mean, it wasn't until 1400s, you know, that that was really a solved thing. And I don't, you know, understanding of that wasn't there, just by faith was there. Job was a great man, though. I think about all the things that he'd gone through for God and a wonderful testimony. We read it, and we know in the end God blessed him with everything that, you know, double that he had. But he did not know that when he was going through those things. He didn't know what would happen. And so I take a verse that I would believe would probably be the key of Job's life and summarize his life and bring some thoughts tonight just on a proper assessment of our own lives as we use Job's life and then assess our life and say, you know, what do we need to, maybe some things in there we need to adjust, we need to, you know, fine-tune. We can learn from this great man of God, and we can learn some great things. We can learn a lot about trust and when it's very dark and you can't physically understand your way. Job trusted God. So some unique things. But he made a great statement here that he didn't just say, he lived. It's one thing to say things. It's another thing to have deeds of those things. I was reading today the book of Ruth. And I noticed something about Ruth's life. The word love is not mentioned until the very last chapter in the book of Ruth. But you find the whole book of Ruth is a love story. But you don't find it in the end until it talks about Boaz and it talks about that he loved Ruth. It's a pretty interesting way to close it out. But Ruth loved Naomi. And if you would look at the characteristic there of how Ruth is described on what she's going to do, she's willing to take her God, she's willing to die with her, she's committing herself, she's taking care of her, and she's going to spend herself out taking care of Naomi. And I thought the word love is not there, but she's willing to give her entire being, her time, her life, to taking care of her mother-in-law. And now, you know, the analogy is, you don't think of somebody loving their mother-in-law like that, do you? But she did. But also, I think about that's the quality of love. Love should have greater words than words. It ought to have deeds. We use the word in the New Testament, the word charity. Charity, you can't have charity without deeds. And so to have charity, you must have the deeds. Job is the kind of person who doesn't just talk his faith. He's living his faith. And so as we assess our own life, and we have to ask ourselves, we talk about our faith, but are we living what we're saying? Are we living what we're doing? Stand with me, please. Job chapter 12, and verse 15 is the verse that captivates me on what he's able to say here and summarizes our thought here tonight. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. but I will maintain my own ways before him. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we think about this great man that you pinned down. And we pray you give us the words to describe him and then the faith to follow in his steps and to apply in our own life as we access our life here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title is Proper Assessment. And when I think about properly doing that, I think the word carries the idea of this. It says, what is the appropriate way of adjusting something in circumstances and situations? A lot of times we allow circumstances and situations to overcome us because we can't understand why we're going through something that doesn't seem to be comfy. Job overcame situation that he could not explain, but he trusted. And even to the degree if it killed him, he'll die trusting God. That's some great faith. Little seeds. In order to ever get to great faith, you start with little faith. How little? Little enough to get saved. Little faith. But little faith, you keep watering that little faith, and you go from having no faith to little faith to growing faith to great faith. But it's a moving out process in life. I kind of liken it under when we did cement out here in the parking lot. We brought in a lot of filled dirt. We had over 100 loads of big semi loads of dirt brought into this property. I'm not talking about little. I'm talking about full 40-foot semi loads dumped it along with this in this property. We brought this property up a lot. And we have that. And then we have 4 to 5 inches, in some places 6 inches of cement. What has amazed me is how grass can find its way up through that cement. And I thought, something under that little seed, and it's a puny little seed, and I got to admit, I don't like the grass, but I got to admit I root for the character of the grass. Because it took a whole lot to break up. And I can imagine if I was a grass seed, I imagine fellow grass seeds around me, and they're saying, oh, don't even try. Listen, Bill tried, he never did do it. You've been 20 years trying to get to the top. You just no sense of wasting all the energy. Enjoy the moisture you have. But this guy, he's just unsettled. He said, I'm going for the top. And the seed, and he fights his way and fights his way. And it doesn't take days. It takes months and even years. And can you imagine when he finally breaks to the top? I mean, you ever hear those little grass blades yelling and screaming and hollering and cheering? I liken that to Job. His faith broke from great adversity. The book of Job has 42 chapters in it. 42 is 3.5 years. 3.5 years refers to the great tribulation of Revelation, where the world is in the most chaotic state that it's ever been before. Job's life reflects, and actually this was not just a tribulation, but this was a great tribulation. It's interesting that God puts 42 chapters in there, doesn't it? Just coincidence that that would happen to fall in that way with the great struggle that he had gone through in his life. And through all this great tribulation, I think it would speak to the great saints that are going through the tribulation. And I believe this verse that says that he that endureth the end, shall be saved. He that endureth the end shall be saved. I believe that's referring to people that get saved during the tribulation, and literally Jews that get saved, and others that get saved during the tribulation and literally walk into the millennium. Somehow, underneath all that chaos, all that stress, they still plow away living for God. And I think I have it hard. I can't imagine that day. That's going to be tough for a man, woman, child of God. But there's going to be people that will live for God. Job sets that example under unbelievable adversity, living for God. And in this sense, the great tribulation of his life, lived for God. I've had problems and difficulties, but I'll be honest with you. I've had very little compared to Job when I think about what he was going through. So he's made some assessments of things in his life. In Job chapter 14, verse 1, he has an assessment of man and of himself and pretty much of all mankind. And I know if I talked to your mom and dad, they would say this about you. It says, man that, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And all those moms that had boys, I have to be careful about, anyway, we'll move on. Boys are trouble. Verse 4 of that same chapter, verse 14 says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Referring to man. Job had a proper assessment of himself. He was a sinner. He was a man that had sinful nature, that needed God, needed something in life. And you know, when the beginning of life is when we have a proper assessment of ourselves, and we see ourselves as sinners to the degree that we can never reach heaven, we can never obtain heaven unless there's a Savior. And that's that, dealing with that sin, understanding that sin, and understanding we've broken God's commandments and God's laws, and God cannot tolerate one bit of sin, not one lie. Every lie, every bit of sin has to be atoned for and paid for. Man cries out, I need you, Lord. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need that atonement. I believe that's a proper assessment. Many people have not accessed their life properly to where they would think and they would see themselves as crying out before God and in great need. You know, we can get saved and Job had this idea of himself, and he realized not only is in himself that he couldn't save himself, he realized something, that he couldn't with his hands take anything out of this world. He could send things. Like, you know, God gave him double of everything in his life when in the end of this. He got 5 more children. Well, according to what God doubled, he should have got 10. But only got 5. Why? Because those other 5, though they were dead, they were still alive. He lost them here, but he knew where they were, and I'll show you before it's all said and done. But he realized that in his hands, he was taking nothing out of this world. You know, I don't understand, but you know, if we would take and we'd bring somebody up here and we'd hook him up to some kind of nuclear bomb and set it off where he was vaporized, he would still exist. Figure that one out. He would exist in his consciousness on the other side as well as a glorified body. That's pretty mind-boggling, isn't it? Job understood that. Oldest book in the Bible, and Job understood that. And so when I think about this, I think about not only can we, when he said this verse, and here's what it is, Job 1:21 said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to them. Naked shall I return there. So he's understanding he can't take anything with him. He has that understanding. You know, with that, the only thing we can do then is send things ahead. But I believe this, not only can we send things ahead, but we can die and still things can keep coming into our mailbox from the labor that we would do here on the earth, the seeds that we were sown. All your seeds don't stop just because you die. And so we can keep, I think it would be kind of fun up there still getting mail. It sure beats nothing in the box, does it? And so, you know, I think Job understood this. He made a correct assessment of his own life and his value system. It was charging him that he realized that he could not, you know, they didn't have U-Haul then, but there was no caravan that he could take to glory. He had to send it only. Now, you know, in this room, there's some eternal things with the Word of God and souls. That's the only thing in this room I know is eternal. But it is something that can all go on the other side. So that I hope that you've made that correct assessment, because the when you make it, you're going to realize then you need a Savior in order to ever attain heaven. Proper assessment of the sovereign God, I believe that he's made. When he made that statement in our text in chapter 12, verse 15, when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That though I trust in him, that's a big statement. He can slay me, and just because I'm dead and I died and I had difficulty does not mean that God was not in it somehow. That God wasn't going to be to somebody's help. I believe Job have this assessment that in a sovereign God, he would trust. Rather, he could see God's hand. And I like the statement, when you can't see God's hand, you can trust God's heart. That even though, you know, and somebody else made this statement, they said this, you know, some things that we go through are for us. They're maturing us. They're growing us. Your preacher here tonight is a better person because of problems, difficulties. Do I like them? No. Do I volunteer for them? No. But have they helped me? Yes. But also, sometimes when we go through things, it's not just for us. Sometimes we go through things to help somebody else. And we may not always understand, but can we trust in a sovereign God that God has his hand on the thermostat? God has a reason, whether we can see it or not. You realize that Job lost his fame here. There's, you know, he lost his friends here too. I mean, he has some comforters, and he calls them what kind of comforters? Miserable. They did better when they said nothing. What was the mistake? You began when you opened your mouth. Before that, it was you were comforting. And so when they began to speak to him, they degraded him that it was something he was doing. Obviously, he was going against God, you know, and just kept counseling, hammering on the poor guy. And he lost the farm. I mean, all the animals he had, everything is gone. He lost his family. All of his kids were killed. I don't know, you know, losing one child is something else, but losing all of your children. And he still maintained his integrity before God. He lost his fame. He lost his fortune. He lost all of his money. He didn't have anywhere to, bank, draw from. He lost the people would accuse him of his faith. His faith of trusting God was being under question. He lost his fitness. He lost his health. I'll tell you one thing, it's awful nice to be able to walk in here tonight. It's nice to be able to speak, to stand, to sing, to enjoy, to hear. It's a wonderful thing. Job lost all of his health. I won't go into all the gross things, but I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody sitting around in ashes scraping boils? And if you do, you think you could find one happy? Somehow, he didn't understand, but somehow, he was trusting in a sovereign God. I have to ask myself, and sometimes, when I'm going through, not just a trial, a great tribulation, and I can't put a finger on it. I can't put a reason. I can't put understanding on why. How do I go through that? What kind of attitude do I have? I can share with you some of your attitudes. Once in a while, and I can share with you, it's not saying that I've arrived. But I can share with you, I've been with people that are going through great tribulations. That their attitudes are off the chart. They're phenomenal. Somehow, in all that, they have peace. And I have faced some great tribulations, not like Job's, but some huge tribulations, and in my heart had total peace. That God, it's in your hands, and I leave it there. And just plug away and go on. Job was going through this. I got to say, that's quite mind-boggling. Matter of fact, look at this when you go back to Job chapter 1. In verse 22, there's a great statement here. It's a few words, but I think we could have a message off of this. If I had a subtext, I suppose it could be this. In Job 1, verse 22, it says, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God how." Well, this, in all this, what he was going through, that's a lot of this. And there was more to come. And I believe that was pretty much Job's testimony on how he'd trust God. Job was not trusting in his flesh. Job was trusting in a sovereign God. He was trusting the heart of God when he could not see physically the hand of God, how it was helping him. That's a lot of trust, isn't it? How do we do? How do we do when we don't know? We have a tendency to complain, grumble. probably, you know, you ever been with somebody who's going through such trial, you feel like they have a reason to grumble? I felt that way. How many, let me make it personal. How many of you have gone through something and you feel like you had reason to grumble? They say, of course I can grumble. You know, and so, I mean, self-evaluation, it's easier to make it about the person next to you or the people that you know. It's a lot easier to make it about somebody else, maybe a better way of saying it. But it's harder to make it about ourselves. But that might be, we might have a tendency not to trust really in a sovereign God. You know, it's interesting, in the end, we're trusting Him with our, I mean, we're going to expire one day unless the rapture happens, and we're trusting Him with the future. I've never been to heaven. I've never stepped into glory. I completely rest in a sovereign God, and I don't even know how I'm going to die. I kind of like to experience death and the rapture. I haven't figured out how God can do that at this simultaneously. But anyway, I suppose if I had my best, I would rather go up on a fiery chariot like Elijah and be able to take a few laps before I go there, you know, just to see what it'll do if I had my wants. Maybe when you're there, if I'm there first, you won't be able to find me right away because I'm taking a ride. Then also, you know, that verse, our text, when I think about it, I think about an assessment of the Savior. Go with me back to Job chapter 14, if you would, please. Let's try Job 19. Job 19, verse 25. He had the right assessment of the Savior. I do not understand all these things, but somehow he saw far down the road. Because if you read the book of Job real quick, you see that no matter what happened to his body, he was trusting one day that he would stand with the Lord in a body form. He understood something about the resurrection. That's amazing. It's amazing that he can make statements, but some of these, just not without reading it, all these, look at verse 25, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter time upon the earth." That's a millennium, and it is going to happen. By the way, that happens at the end of the Great Tribulation. Verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." And you can put that right in with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the greatest book in the New Testament on the resurrection. It would live right beside it. I mean, Job believed in something. I don't know about you, but if you ever had your body destroyed by worms, you think how destructive that is. Not just that your body's gone, but your body ends up into zillion, if that's a word, zillions of worms that go all over the world, all over the earth, and you're zillions of parts. I mean, I can't even put a number on it. That's why I use zillion. I don't know if it's a real number. But something like that. It's off the chart. And yet, when God calls that body together, it's coming together. I mean, that's quite amazing, isn't it? He knew that. To this day, Jews, in a proper burial of a Jew leaves the bottom out of their, somehow, it has to, the worms, they leave it to where they don't embalm you, and that they want to touch in the dirt because they want the natural process to take place. It's their burial, you know. But obviously that there's more to life than just your body being dissolved. Job saw that. That's amazing to me. Have you ever had a real evaluation that someday you're going to die, but that's not going to be the end? Even if you were vaporized, that would not be the end. Job chapter 14, verse 14 says this. It says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Yep, I will die, but I will have a change. I'll be eaten with worms, but I will have a change. Well, that's faith, isn't it? So if you slay me, you let my body goes to worms, I got the faith that this, somehow I will live again. Wow. He's trusting in a great sovereign God. He also has a good perspective of being a servant of God. In our text there in Job chapter 13, verse 15 when it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I get the idea in him trusting in him. Somebody's trusting in God's living for God, serving God, pushing on for God, not stopping for the things of God. A trial is not going to stop him. I mean, what would it take to stop Job? Think about what it takes to knock people out of church today. I mean, you know, sometimes the littlest things offend somebody, and boy, they're in church for years and years. Somebody got mad. You know, have you ever been in church where somebody didn't say a step on your toe or somebody make you mad? I don't know if I'd like a church where all they talk about is love. I mean, I'm for love, but I feel like they're not giving me, you know, the truth. Because you cannot read. You know, everybody in the Bible, you take to read all the characters of the Bible, God took the time to show they're good and they're bad. For not just your average Job, but some of the great men of God, God shows their characteristics, their flaws. I mean, we could all stop serving God not because of an excuse. Job did not give an excuse. But when's the last time you really ran into somebody where their flesh is that kind of problem, their family's all gone, and even their wife, who nobody has your heart like your wife. Nobody can hurt me like my wife and children. Nobody. And I expect my enemies to throw stones. But his wife said, curse God and die. You know, her job was to encourage Job. Job, I don't know how it all be, big boy, but you're gonna be all right. It's going to be all right. Listen, you need to eat. And, you know, come on, Job. You mean she should have been pulling for him. Can I hear it from the guys? And instead, why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, that's pretty, you know, how many would say your wife is your closest friend, you know? Your closest friend just said, you got to look that up in the Greek. I mean, that leaves you, you know, your heart, when it's already, you've lost your kids. I mean, I would say, I know if it was me, I don't want somebody to ask me how I feel. If I lose all my, I don't want to talk about it. It's going to take me time. It's going to take me time to grip again. Your heart is already just about gone, and then your wife, she just about finished that off. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, I was just about to do it. And Job did not carry around a white hanky to throw in for an excuse to not serve God. He determined that he's going to keep keeping on. He's going to keep pushing on. He was going to trust in God, whether he could explain it or not, whether he had family or not, whether he had friends or not, whether he had fame or not, whether he had finances or not. He just pushed on, and if God took him out, God took him out. If God left him, he would still maintain his integrity before God. Wow. I talked to somebody today, and I said, it was somebody that was trying to get back in the detention center. He did something dumb and got thrown out of the detention center. And so I was talking to this person who could get him back in today, and I said, I'll tell you what, I'll bring him in with me for a year. And let me work with him for 1 year in the detention center. And if I see him improve, we'll put him back in. And she's going to try to get that approved. And I said, this guy has done some dumb things. But when you get around this guy, he's one of these guys that are happy guys. He's joyful. He can be discouraged. And when you get in the room with him, he makes you feel good. And I'll tell you, there's just not enough of those people. There's more people that will dim the lights when they walk into a room that will light it up. And I said, you know, the detention center needs to see some happy people that love God. I said, and he's got his problems, but that's not one of them. He is a natural born encourager. And there's just not very many out there. I said, so, you know, if we could ever get him focused, he's worth saving. And so, you know, there's no doubt he loves God, and he loves teens. He's worked with teens all of his life. He's a very committed person. But he has that. I think if we got around Job, I think that's the kind of person, even though he had problems, I think we'd be uplifted by this person, this man. He would make you feel bad for feeling bad. And whatever problem you had, and you left, you would not feel bad. you'd feel like maybe I don't have it so bad. That guy has it bad. You may not have it so bad. He found a fight worth fighting for. David put in the word, is there not a cause? Stepped out into the battlefield fighting Goliath. He saw something bigger than the problem, bigger than the difficulty. He did not have all the answers that day, but he did trust in a sovereign God. I don't believe that it was David that killed Goliath. I believe it was God that killed Goliath with David's rock. But God used that rock filled with the power of God and the faith in a man who let it go, knowing that God is bigger than Goliath. And God brought a great victory that day. I could just see those men on top of that hill. When that rock hit and David and Goliath fell over, I wonder how many of them looked like this. And then, if I was there, I know what I would do. Let's go! And then they took off down over the end of that valley. And when the Philistines saw the confidence of people just running, charging them, they were getting out of Dodge. I mean, that would be something. Because somebody in a tough situation trusted in a great God but had no explanation. You know, that's encouraging to me, people that will step out for faith and trust God. I think a lot of times, I know one of the things that college and school does to us as people, maybe even 2 years away from your family, there's things that grow in us that if we don't go through difficulty to learn to trust God beyond, you know, something that God shows you and settles in your heart, and you don't have all the answers. I call it this. I said, and I'm not, I know it's scary to say this because people use this for foolishness. But there's sometimes I've jumped off a cliff and I knew that I had to build my wings on the way down. I knew the bottom would be bad without them. Are you following what I said? You understand what I said? That somehow you trust God, you take that leap, that step of faith, you settled it in your heart. You weren't foolish about it. You went to the Word of God. God gave you something directly that you felt like it was a command, like it was an order. And you stepped out. Now, I've seen that time and time again, that somehow that grows us. And I want to tell you something. Each time God comes through, we have a little bit better understanding, a little bit better trust and maturity. And we will trust Him with the next thing that He shows us. That you don't have to always have the answers. Now, that's a dangerous statement because I like to figure things out. I'm for studying them. I'm for doing your homework and understanding things and looking in the Word of God and getting verses. So often people, they didn't spend 10 minutes on the Word of God and they're going to do something foolish. But I mean where you've done all you can, you saturated yourself with the Word of God to find what God wanted in something in your life. Sometimes it's those steps. They grow you. He found a faith worth fighting for, and he found a fight worth engaging the enemy in, and he found a God worth serving, and he did not carry around I quit cloth around because of problems and difficulties. He's a unique individual. I say there's a lot of things for assessment in our life we can learn from Job. It's more than just a problem that God wrote all these things down in Job's life. I pray that his life would benefit us years and years and years later than when this man walked on the face of the earth. Matter of fact, I wonder if you've benefited from his life that God allowed him to live. I wonder if there would be something that would go into the mailbox tonight there in glory. If somebody said, God's speaking to you about something. God's growing you about something. Because it used Job's life to grow you. I wonder if that would, you know, this man lived what God wrote about him. He was a man of deeds. It's a wonderful thing. I think this world needs to see Christianity again. A lot of talk about it. May God help us to live a great life before a dying world. Stand with me, please. Lord, we bow before you tonight. We thank you again for the privilege we have to be your people. Thank you for saving us and for the story of Job. It has a lot of things, Father, that I hope we would take and analyze and make part of our life. And maybe somebody tonight's going through some great difficulty they can't explain why it came their way, a circumstance, a situation. And we're having trouble trusting, counting, seeing, and faith to step out on some things that are difficult. I pray that you would help here tonight. Speak to our hearts. Maybe it's even doubting, Father, witnessing, or following something that is a direct command that really is obvious in the Bible, but we struggle with it and difficult, and we were kind of refuse in our heart. Maybe somehow we think that you could never help us to obtain to it. So whatever it might be, I pray the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts to bring about your perfect will in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take a moment tonight and assess your life, if you would, please, as the invitation is given, an opportunity to come here tonight.